I try to explain to her why that should make sense because she says this doesn't make sense. And when I try to explain to her that it does make sense, she said, no, I don't get that. I just need to know how to put in the calculator so that I get the right answer. But when she doesn't understand, there's always a chance to put in something wrong. You know how negative numbers can work in calculators. So that's kind of my struggle. What kind of things that I can
In
do
this
to
Math Mentoring
identify
Moment
the right
episode,
answer?
we speak with a high school teacher who is in her second year of teaching. She's been teaching statistics and algebra too and became accustomed, we got the sense, to teaching students who've motivated themselves. And now she's struggling to reach students working well below grade level in her math concept course.
Stick around and you'll hear us dig deep on what's really going on in her classroom and what small changes she can start making now so students start saying, "I get this," instead of, "I don't understand this at all."
This is another Math Mentoring Moment episode where we speak with a member of the Math Momaker community, a person just like you. And together we brainstorm strategies and next steps for teachers to overcome the pebbles they have in their shoes.
Welcome, my friends, to the Making Math Moments That Matter podcast. I'm Kyle Pierce.
And I'm John Orr. We are from MakeMathMoments.com.
This is the only podcast that coaches you through a six-step plan to grow your mathematics program, whether at the classroom level or at the district level.
And we do that by helping you cultivate and foster your mathematics program like a strong, healthy, and balanced tree.
If you master the six parts of an effective mathematics program, the impact of your math program will grow and reach far and wide.
Every week, we're going to help you gain some insight so you can stop feeling overwhelmed and gain back the confidence and get back to enjoying the planning and facilitating of your mathematics program for the students or educators you serve.
Today, we're going to be honing in on the roots of an effective mathematics program. So listen in as we dig into the importance of the mathematics content knowledge of us, the educators, as well as knowing and understanding what it truly means to be mathematically proficient.
All right. So you'll hear that in just a moment as we dive into this Math Mentoring Moment episode with Venus. Here we go.
So today I have come across this. Well, actually, as you probably imagine, a new teacher, every day I have new problems. And right now I have three subjects: statistics, algebra 2, and then one class is called math concepts. This is the first year I did with math concepts. And from what I understand, it is a class that they hope that we can help them pass algebra 1 test.
Got it.
So these students that I have, well, actually, this year, I think they might want to try to change things because I have a few students. This is the first time they're having Algebra 1 math class. So basically, all my students have two math classes. One is my math class, and they also have another math class. So I have a very small class for that. And a few of them is the first time they take Algebra 1 class, but this might have been their first public school experience, or for different reasons, they think that they might need extra support. And then the other couple of students I have, they have failed Algebra 1 test, the state test, several times. When I went through the teaching credential program, I was in California, and they use mostly Common Core, which is Math 1, 2, and 3. So the whole idea of Algebra 2, Algebra 1 is new to me as well, like how they separate things. So I feel very difficult for one particular student because sometimes students have failed many times, they just stop trying, and that is another issue. And this particular student, I think she really, really wants to pass, but she has gaps that I don't know how to address. Those are the one that is probably very obvious, like the how to deal with negative numbers, how to deal with fractions, and how to deal with variables with parentheses. Because I was teaching Algebra 2 this year, last year I was teaching Pre-Cal, so when their gaps is, it felt like elementary school stuff to me. I'm not sure how to address. And I think she has been getting through it with the use of calculators. And yeah, so I guess I'm going to stop talking.
No, this is great. And we're going to definitely want to dig in here. I'm just jotting down a couple of things I've heard. So if it's okay, I'll just kind of restate what I think I heard, and then maybe you can let us know if we're on track and if maybe there's anything else to add. So it sounds like, first of all, in your second year of teaching, you have three different courses that you're teaching right now from different parts of the curriculum or standards, right? So you're dealing with statistics, you're dealing with Algebra 2. I'm going to guess that in those classes, you probably have a variety of students and different levels of readiness. But then in particular, it sounds like this third class, Math Concepts, is sort of where this question is revolving around. The idea that you have a lot of students who are essentially taking that class because they've likely had some sort of struggles with math. Yeah. I'm going to guess, and you've sort of insinuated the idea that some may have maybe given up on math, right? Maybe mm-hmm. given up on themselves in terms of being able to achieve. And it sounds like there's one student in particular who's been struggling with concepts that feel very elementary or very below high school level. My wonder, and also there's been maybe an over-reliance on the use of the calculator. That's a very, very common challenge, even with students in our higher level courses, our courses that you would hope students have number sense. So it sounds to me, you're wondering, what do we do when students are having challenges with some concepts that are well below where you might anticipate they could or should be for a specific course? Am I hearing you right? And is there anything else you might want to add to that just to kind of help us gain a good picture of the scenario?
I think so. And I guess I wanted to add to that is that these students, they're juniors, and it is not like they want to get their skills up. And that's probably one of the reasons why they wanted to be able to just get this passed, right? So next year, they're probably not going to take any serious math. They have enough math credit. They just need to pass so that they can graduate. It's a lot different from helping the student who needs to pass my Algebra 2 class per se. If there's something they want to pass and they probably need the skills for something else.
Right.
And they have a little bit more motivation to understand it. And the student in this class, they just want to know how to give the correct answers. I have a student who I think just disinterested, but I guess this particular student I talked about is that I know she would try whatever I give her to try. But then when I get to the point, try to explain things, like today I try to help her to understand it's just combining like terms with negative coefficients or combining like terms with fractions. And I try to explain to her why that makes sense, because she says this doesn't make sense. And when I try to explain to her that it does make sense, she said, no, I don't get it. I just need to know how to put in a calculator so that I get the right answer. But when she doesn't understand, there's always a chance to put in something wrong. You know how negative numbers can work in calculators. So that's kind of my struggle. What kind of things that I can do to, I don't even know where to get started, I guess.
Yeah, and I think this is not an uncommon situation. I know that you're only in your second year, but it's not an uncommon situation for teachers to be in future years that have situations like this. And I think you're coming up on a class that probably you've got some kids because they've had some negative experiences in mathematics. They've been told they're not so great in mathematics. You're probably got some behavior issues happening in there because they're not even really wanting to be there. And you've had some experience teaching senior students who, like you've said, don't need any motivation to do the work that you're asking kids to do the work and understand the mathematics. They've got the drive there because they've got external motivation or maybe some internal motivation to get that done or move on to the next level for various reasons. And then it becomes tough when we have a class where we're working with a whole bunch of students who have no motivation to do the work. They probably have no support at home. They probably got no support or maybe even not even a trusted adult in the building. This is maybe the situation that you're in. I don't know if it's probably similar. I know that I've had classes like this as well. So it's not our fault that this happened, right? But it's so awesome that you're here bringing this pebble forward to chat about it. It means that you're already better and more equipped to start to handle this situation just by bringing this question up to and discuss it with folks just like us. So I don't want you to think that you're alone here. Everyone, you will go through this class that they don't want to teach. And I know that when Kyle and I started the podcast, we talked about that. We both had situations like that where we were, I don't want to teach anymore because every day is a struggle. Every day is a challenge. And then when we started to make some subtle shifts in our lesson structure, our lesson design, to focus on really helping that group of students, that's when things changed for us. And it was more of a pleasure to go to work and go to school all of a sudden. And it kept us in the game. And I don't think we would have been here if we didn't make some of those changes along the way. Because you're recognizing this, what would you say you have done so far to try to get engagement with this group or motivate this group or bring this group around? I know that you said you were working one-on-one with some skills with this one particular student, but what would you say you've done so far that you're like, I thought this would work and it's not working?
Hey, Math Moment Makers, Kyle here. And I've got just a quick message specifically for our district level mathematics decision makers out there. Do you feel like you're spinning your wheels when making district level goals for mathematics programming from kindergarten through grade 12? Setting new goals each year only to find little to no real shift in pedagogical practice or educator content knowledge across the district as a whole? Take a moment to book a short call with our team so we can learn more about your specific district and educator learning needs in mathematics so we can assist you in taking the first step of many in the right direction. Visit makemathmoments.com/district to book a web call with our team today. We have a limited number of spots for districts just like yours, so don't wait. Head to makemathmoments.com/district and grab a spot in our calendar now.
So in the beginning of the school year, a coworker of mine was teaching this class and she passed on some of her notes. So I used her slides, which is very much a test prepare type of class, right? Mm-hmm. We run through past questions and then we try to get some more practice and hopefully they can pass. For one, it is difficult to even motivate myself to do that because I don't want them just to pass. And imagine they pass the class next year, they will be in my Algebra 2 class. I want them to understand.
Yes.
In the beginning, I really tried to get them to practice. But what I noticed becoming a problem is that there are times that we can do the same practice and then the second day give them the same problem. They have no idea again. So not all of them, some of them. And also they have different issues. Some of the students have more trouble with distributing parentheses. Some students would be like this particular girl, she have it almost like mental. I feel like that whenever there's a variable, there's negative sign, nothing makes sense. I try to put in some activities and like the stacking cups activity, but they are really quick to let's just put the cups together and see how many cups it takes, right? It's really hard to get them to focus in to make it more like an equation. So I'm not sure. And then I checked some of the activities on your website, but some of them, I don't know if I'm being too early to judge, they felt a little bit kiddish because it seems like it's a younger group of standard. So I don't know if I can get them engaged to do those things. I think I tried to use, I forgot what this activity called, but then it's the one that you kind of find a slope with each TV set is $50 or something. I don't know, that wouldn't make sense. But do you know what I'm getting at? Sorry.
Yep.
You gave them they need to find the initial values and then the rate of change. Yes.
Yep.
Those she is really good, right? And so you sometimes feel like, why so different? When you give them this type of math, she kind of fly through it. It's so easy to finish in 5 minutes. And then you give them this type of problems that seems to be supposedly what prepared them to do this rate of change, and she's done.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like in a lot of cases, And I don't know about this initial value and the rate of change piece, but one thing that you will find with a lot of the units that we create, and don't get us wrong, we try to cover across different curriculums. So we're talking about with very young students all the way to older students. So definitely the context can change. I'm wondering, do you notice, I heard you talking about things like using with parentheses, with collecting like terms. Do you find that when this particular student is having success, are there any commonalities when you're seeing success? So you had mentioned the rate of change and the initial value. My wonder is the problem more visual? Often graphing, for example, would be visual. And then also I'm wondering, is it contextual? So is there sort of a story to it? Whereas when we're talking about brackets and distribution and collecting like terms, oftentimes there's an absence of that visual and absence of the context. Does that seem to ring a bell for you as something common between when there is success and maybe when there are struggles?
Unfortunately, this is one thing that makes me confused the most, because as I mentioned, the rate of change kind of problems is that it was contextual problems. And is it a contextual problem where you can identify which is the initial rate and which is the change, right? And then there was this particular exam problem that I gave them that has very similar context. But that one, surprisingly, and it is about a weight bar, which you put a weight on it, so you should be able to figure out the initial values and then the additional weights. And she is also in weightlifting, so it wouldn't be the context that confused her, right? If that makes sense. So, but then she don't know how to do that problem. But now that when I'm speaking to you, I think that particular problem, the problems that you have has graph in it. That particular problem does not have graph in it. So she had to formulate it. So maybe the formula part that has confused her.
Interesting. And it makes me wonder, and it will be hard to know for certain, right? But I mean, these are maybe some ideas for you to maybe jot down as maybe exploring a little deeper. Something that's really helpful for students is context. So context can be very helpful, but then also modeling. So whether it's graphing, sometimes graphing can be challenging too, even though it's visual. Yeah. If I'm not sure how to graph, then that's going to be a problem as well. But one thing that you may want to think on is with all of the other examples where these students have sort of bumped into a bit of a wall, is trying to like pause with that one concept and then sort of thinking, if this student isn't successful with this problem, what's the step before that problem? Right. And then can I ask that problem and see? And oh, if that student still can't do that problem, can I back up one more and continue kind of down this line? And really what we're trying to get you to almost envision in your mind is this continuum, this trajectory, right? Students, when they come to you, they've supposedly accomplished all of this other mathematics before they got to you. Now, these particular students, we know for a fact that they have struggled along the way. And it probably wasn't just last year, right? They probably had struggles for quite a while. So part of our challenge, part of the mystery, and I'm going to argue maybe part of the fun of teaching a course like this is maybe less about them getting the thing that's on the paper that I'm supposed to get them to understand. And more about having to problem solve as the teacher to go, where are you? Because I know you're not here because you're struggling here. And when students say, I jotted this down because I thought this was really interesting. I hear this a lot when I'm chatting with teachers, is when students say this doesn't make sense. And you had mentioned that, well, it does make sense. And you tried to convince that student. But imagine if I was trying to convince you of something that was so abstract to you, it doesn't make any sense to me. They're not saying the math doesn't make sense because I'm sure it does, but they're going, it doesn't make sense to me. So if we can peel back that onion a little bit and go, where can I get to a place where this student feels like they're making sense and then slowly start to bring the math content up a little bit. And that might take time and effort. I say might, it will take time and effort. But really, through this progression, what you can do, what you'll get answers to in doing this and actually maybe digging in a little bit on this idea is you'll get to know where they actually are, what assets they're bringing with you, instead of just sort of finding out that they just don't know anything, because they do know something.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen to be the stuff in the curriculum currently.
I guess this is one thing that I'm trying to do right now. And I'm trying to use Khan Academy because it has a range of problems. Because I'm teaching Algebra 2 and other classes, which means that I don't really know what comes before. And I guess especially this is my second year. So what do they need before that I can give them a stepping point that they feel successful, that I can build on? And I'm not sure how to go about finding that besides what I'm doing right now, like assign different levels of problems and hopefully it's something that I know they can do. And then,
yeah, I think what Kyle suggested is probably the best way. And you're going to learn this as you go, right? Like you said, it's your only second year of teaching, and we build up these continuums on strands of topics, skills that we put in our tool belts as teachers to realize and assess on the fly where students are on those continuums and then backtrack to find them the right spot. And I think that does take time. It does take repetition of working with kids to learn those continuums. Now, you can read books to learn those continuums. You can look at the curriculum documents or your standard documents, stretch back to the previous grade. I know that you're saying they're not at the Algebra 1 level. They're before that. But so find the standards and kind of look at grade levels below and keep going down until you see your student and see where they are on that continuum. Mm-hmm. That can be helpful to build up your understanding of the content. Because I know that we do need to strengthen that if we're going to help our students as best as possible. I've shared a story a number of times where I was thrown into a class where I had never taught accounting. And because of that, I didn't know the curriculum well enough, or I didn't know the content well enough to know what comes before, what's going to come after, what does the next grade level look like in accounting. I didn't know any of these things. And I found myself kind of not sure about how to help a kid move to the next thing, because I wasn't sure of this continuum of skills that built on each other in terms of, say, the accounting process. But we know that it's going to take time to do that. So I think using Kyle's suggestion about kind of go back, asking kids where they are on that timeline can help you get a sense of where you need to learn on your end, what skills you have to kind of develop. The type of questions that we ask too are going to help with that. I know that I needed, in order to help this group of students, that sounds like much like your group of students, I needed to learn and look at different ways of modeling the mathematics. So I used to help a kid, and you know, it's ringing bells for when I helped a kid with collecting like terms. I would just repeat a little louder and a little bit again and a little bit like, this is the way you do it. And let me show you again with different numbers. It wasn't until I started to represent these ideas with a different model. So for example, I'd been always using an algebraic model with 3x plus 2x in writing it this way and saying, look, there's a connection between these. There's the same thing. I'm stating the rules that we all come to know. But it wasn't until I started to explore on my own and also with other colleagues and with the students themselves, how to represent, say, in a pictorial version. Maybe we use some algebra tiles. Maybe we drew an area model to kind of show, instead of using the tiles themselves, to show how we can represent these things a little differently. And then some students will grasp those ideas quicker than, say, the algebraic model. So I think a good suggestion would be to kind of look into some of those models and how to represent the particular way that you're looking at, or the particular skill you're looking to help your students with at that point. And it will come. It will come with time. We'll learn these different models and different strategies that we can help our students with.
I love it. And just to kind of piggyback onto that, I think modeling is really important, but it also introduces, as John's articulated, it introduces almost the need or the urgency for us as the educators to do the math. And really what we're talking about at Make Math Moments, we talk about six parts of an effective math program, and we're kind of honing in on the roots of the tree. We kind of envision this tree, and there's all the different parts of a tree, the six different parts, and the roots are what it means to be mathematically proficient. And if we want proficiency for our students, and this was a challenge I really had a hard time with, was I wanted my students to become fluent and flexible with number and operations and just to feel good about math. But what I realized is that I didn't have the necessary fluency in order to help a struggling student, right? I was algebraically able to represent and solve and find the answers. But it's like when you're trying to explain something to someone and they're not understanding you, and then you don't have any other way to articulate what you mean. And if you've ever been in an argument with someone, right, where you're in a disagreement, if you just continue to repeat the same logic over and over again, and they're not making sense of what you're saying, the only real way for us to make any headway is either for them to suddenly have an epiphany and understand what you're saying, which is probably not going to happen, or I have to find another way to help them understand, right? You'll hear people say, well, wait a second, let me say it like this. And then they frame it differently and they try to come at it from a different angle. Well, in mathematics, it's kind of like us with the algebra. If we just continue to say the same thing over and over again, we're hoping for an epiphany, or we have to come at it from another angle. And it doesn't mean the algebra goes away forever. We want to come back to it and we want to bring it back together. But the only way we can do that is to be well-versed in what it is we're trying to teach. So if you've ever been in an argument where you believe something, but you're not actually as well-versed as maybe you thought, you oftentimes end up losing the argument because you don't have another way to address or to prove or to convince the other person. And really, in mathematics, when students are struggling, oftentimes what they're saying is like, I don't believe anything that you're saying, because none of this has made sense for probably a handful of years, right? So it's been a long time since any of this made sense to me. So really, it's up to us. It's not our fault. I want to make sure we're clear on that. It's not our fault when students are struggling, but it is our responsibility. And you're taking this responsibility seriously by being here and trying to seek solutions for these students. So I congratulate you on that. It's our responsibility to try to go, if a student's not seeing it this way, how else can we come at it? And oftentimes, for me, what I see and what research is telling us is that really, if we come at it with models, as John's mentioned, and try to articulate and use strategies that are developmentally appropriate. So again, it's sort of this idea of if we can back it up. And I know in the chat, we had Rose share Achieve the Core, a link there that might be helpful for you. Something for us to think about. It doesn't matter what the standards say earlier. What matters is how did we get here? And again, for many years, I didn't know how I got here. When I was completing the square with students, I was like, I don't understand how I got here. I know how to complete the square, but I don't really understand what's the step before you get to that place. And what's the step before that? And that work, if we as educators spend time thinking about these things and doing that math and almost like taking a problem that you know a student's going to struggle with and maybe going to the lunchroom or to your department prep room and going with some of your colleagues and saying, hey, here's the problem. How can we teach this in a way that would start 10 steps earlier? Can I back this thing up 10 steps and start with something that everyone's going to get and take one step forward? Help them get that problem, take one step forward. And that's not going to happen overnight by any means, but it is one of those things, especially being in year two, that like you have this massive, long career ahead of you. If you start that work now, you're not going to be the best teacher on the planet by tomorrow or next week or even next year, but you will become a better teacher every single day. And you'll eventually get to a place where when you bump into these challenges, you'll look at it just like that. And you're going to persevere through and you're going to go, okay, I'm not sure what to do. And even being open with your students is a great option too. You say to them, like, I'm not sure what to do, but We're going to think on this and we're going to come back. Let's pivot over here and let's work on these problems. And I'm going to try to come back to you with something that's going to make a little bit more sense for you. That's the challenge I'm going to put on myself to try to help you with that. And I promise you, every time you do those little activities and every time you think about that, it's going to make you a better teacher and you're going to feel more capable to help convince those students with varied approaches, and they're going to start to go, holy smokes, this does make sense. That thing you just said right here, this makes sense. And now I'm seeing how that connects to this one over here. And that's really like the magic of effective math instruction, which unfortunately for all of us, or most of us, we didn't experience ourselves as students, right? So it's almost like magic to us because we never experienced it as students. We were just told one way. And some of us made it through and others didn't. Well, you're dealing with the others who wouldn't have made it through back when we were going through school. So you're taking on an amazing, amazing challenge here. And I don't know, I want to flip it back to you and get your thoughts and perspective.
Yeah, like what's the takeaway right now?
Are you feeling overwhelmed? Are you feeling energized? Are you feeling like, you know what? I think I can do this if I spend a little bit of that time trying to grapple with these problems and bring down the bar a little bit for my students.
I'm definitely energized and I thank you for that. It's still overwhelming in the sense that, because as I said, that one student I brought to your attention, there's several ones and I'm trying to think how I can bring everyone. Is there something that I can do that will help everyone in the same time? But I do feel like I have a point that I can get started for tomorrow, or not for tomorrow's lesson, but for me to get started, to think and to find things to look for. I do have some algebra tiles, but I might just start there. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where I thought about too. And then, yeah. So there's also these pieces whether I can actually get them to work on things. But I feel like what you have talked about has gave me more confidence to try.
Awesome.
I love that.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I'm glad you've got your next step and you're thinking about that. I think that's amazing. And we're glad to be here to help you.
Thank you.
All right, my friends, in today's episode, our focus area was on the roots of our six parts of that math program. We envision this as a tree, and the roots of the tree are really important because they represent the mathematics content knowledge of the educators in the room. And of course, we want to be sharing that content knowledge with our students. It also really highlights the importance of understanding what it really means to be mathematically proficient. If our math programs don't consist of educators with a deep conceptual understanding of the mathematics, hey, I don't blame you. I was there and I'm still working on it, as well as promoting the instruction that promotes and develops the five strands of mathematical proficiency, our tree that we're trying to nurture will not get the necessary water and nutrients to thrive.
Yeah. And if you were listening carefully, you probably heard Venus kind of make that recollection that we needed to focus on a different way of coming at a problem and helping our students kind of understand that problem. She was struggling with the student kind of frustratingly giving up and not understanding it. And we talked about kind of coming at it from a different perspective. Eventually, we kind of wrapped around the idea of thinking about using models in different strategies for Venus to focus on and kind of go learn about and come back and then help their students use different representations to come at the problem from a different way, which is, like what Kyle just said, all about the roots of our tree, building our own content knowledge, our own proficiency around the mathematics and around how the mathematics is represented.
Hey, what did you take away from today's episode? As we always say, both John and I learned so much through these discussions. Something that comes to mind for me that might be helpful for you, if you can relate and you hear maybe some of the challenges you're experiencing, just like Venus is experiencing, you can head over to makemathmoments.com/tasks and you can check out our full units of study. In the teacher's guide in each unit, we actually take you through each and every lesson, and we do so from a conceptual understanding point of view. So it's really focusing in on the roots, which is incredibly important. So if I say something like,
partitive division, and that doesn't mean something to you. That might mean that you need to work on the roots of your mathematics program. Hey, if this didn't resonate with you and you're wondering, what part of the tree should I be working on? You should head over to makemathmoments.com/report, where you're going to have the opportunity as a classroom teacher or as a district leader to take an assessment that will help you hone in on the area that is of most need or most need of your attention right now. Maybe it's the roots, maybe it's the leaves, maybe it's the trunk. It might be any of those six parts of the tree. When you fill out that assessment, 12 minutes is all it's going to take. It will give you a customized report. If you click on the teacher survey, it's going to be all applicable to your classroom. If you click on the district assessment, you're going to get all things that are helpful to you as a district or school leader in order to drive your math program forward.
Hey, in order to ensure you don't miss out on new episodes as we publish them every Monday morning, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. And also, don't forget show notes, links to resources, and complete transcripts from this episode can be found over at makemathmoments.com/episode226. Again, that's makemathmoments.com/episode226.
Hey, thanks for listening in to the Making Math Moments That Matter podcast, where we help you grow your mathematics program just like a tree so your impact can reach far and wide. Well, until next time, Math Moment Maker friends, I'm Kyle Pierce.
And I'm John Orr.
High fives for us.
And
high five for you.
If you are a district leader of mathematics, a math coach, a math curriculum coordinator, a superintendent, and principal, getting teacher buy-in for effective math teaching practice is top of mind. And plans only go so far. You can make, you know, detailed plans and carefully designed goals with clear objectives and key results that are measurable. But that can feel like it all falls flat if we can't engage our teachers in the work. Working with teachers who do not want to change their teaching practices is one of the most frustrating and challenging parts of our job. How do I help teachers engage in effective teaching practices when they keep pushing us away? If you can't reach the tipping point in mass adoption of effective mathematics teaching strategies, then it's likely we won't see student improvement in mathematics. We have a free training an accompanying workbook for leaders of mathematics like you. The Make Math Moments team, myself, John, and Kyle walk you through our four-stage process we use with district partners to create clear, measurable, sustainable PD action plans, but more specifically on how to also get teacher buy-in so that it drives student engagement. So step one, register for this free training, get your planning workbook, and then watch the training. Schedule some time on your calendar so you can watch it and go through the workbook. After completing that workbook, you're going to have a clear, measurable vision, action plan for mathematics to get more teacher buy-in, but also be able to hit your goals for the 2024-2025 school year. So head on over to makemathmoments.com/4stages to start this free training.